May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993.
Thank you. We will continue to read from God's word in the book of Exodus. Having read this morning chapter 14, we will read chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab. Trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased, thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancers. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray once more as we come before thee on this thy day for thine especial help, that it may be profitable unto our souls, that we may have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches from thy holy word. O Lord, do keep me faithful in proclaiming thy pure and uncorrupted word. And, O Lord, may that thou comest with power by the Spirit to apply the word, that it may not just enter into our ears, but into our hearts, into our souls, to truly do us good. That, O Lord, that it may be known that we have been with Jesus, that our lives, our conversation, our hearts are not the same. O Lord, do save us from a religion where we're always the same. Same week after week, year after year, decade after decade. Or yea, worse, slipping further into the world, accommodating more of the things of this dying world and the vanities of it. Growing steadily more hardened to the truth that we hear and read. O Lord, do come with power, we do beg. O Lord Jesus Christ, look in mercy upon us. O Lord, in thy precious name we do plead that thou would come, that the word may be powerful in our hearts and our lives. That there may be those changes for the better. It may be seen that we have been with Jesus. Like it was seen with Zacchaeus. What a change in his life. Or the demoniac, that legion of devils. Or the disciples, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. They could see that they had been with Jesus. O Lord, may our lives set forth to thine honour and glory, that we know thee, whom to know is life eternal. We know thy love, and it is shown forth in our life. As thou dost lay down thy life a sacrifice for sins, our life should be spiritually and to thine honour and glory, a living sacrifice to thy praise. O Lord, help us, for ourselves we cannot. But O Lord, thou canst soften our hearts, thou canst help us, direct us, guide us, strengthen us. O Lord, do deliver us from pride, self-righteousness, impatience, rebellion, so many different snares, O Lord, that Satan has set for our soul. The snare of Phariseeism, self-righteousness, spiritual pride, carelessness. O Lord, do deliver us from these things, that we may be kept praying, humbly dependent upon thee, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, we do pray for thy blessing to be upon the friends here who are gathered, and the church and congregation here, and those friends from other neighbouring churches. That, O Lord, that thou hast be pleased to favour us each. That there may be that building up in the churches, the most holy faith, that delivering of from darkness unto light, from formalism into that true warmth and power of the gospel in our lives. And, O Lord, that there may be those brought in who may come in seeking Thee, earnestly seeking Thee, and may find Thee, even from this neighbourhood, those that go past the doors, that there may be that desire that they should come and hear Thy word. O Lord, do help our friends, the deacons here, in their responsibility. O Lord, we do pray there may be a raising up of more labourers, ministers of the everlasting gospel, raising up of pastors over the churches. O Lord, how we do need Thine appearing. Appearing in the ministry, even this night here. Touch my lips with a live coal from off Thine heavenly altar, and Thy servants likewise that are proclaiming Thy word. O Lord, how we do need Thy help. And, O Lord, do appear for us in the nation as we pray this morning. Thou would come, deliver us from those who would seek to persecute, to take away our liberty of worship. And, O Lord, have done such vileness in Parliament and government that, O Lord, in the coming election there may be those raised up who would fear Thy name. They will not bow to the idols and the abominations of this world, but will bow before Thee secretly in prayer and openly to follow Thee in faithfulness. O Lord, we do pray that Thou mightest look upon those in other lands. O Lord, those especially suffering in persecution, those imprisoned or in exile, because of the testimony of Thy name. We do pray especially for those suffering so greatly in Iraq and Syria, amidst that barbaric violence. O Lord, we do pray that Thou mightest bring the men of violence to naught. O Lord, that proper and rightful order may be established. But, O Lord, those that fear Thy name, that Thou wouldst appear for them to help them, especially those bereaved or as refugees. But, O Lord, we would pray for those in gross darkness and ignorance, even those who persecute, that they may be brought by Thy wonderful grace and power into the liberty of the gospel, to bow before Thee, whose followers they did once seek to destroy, but they may bow before Thee and to know Thee as their Saviour, like Thou didst for Saul of Tarsus, to Manasseh, to many others through the ages. O Lord, we do pray, appear, and do grant that help to those suffering elsewhere in many places of persecution. O Lord, we would pray for those in the midst of disease and poverty, especially in West Africa. Thou wouldst indeed grant that help amidst the suffering, that terrible plague of Ebola. O Lord, we do pray amidst these things that indeed our sins deserve Thy judgments. Know Thy long-suffering, that such things have not been poured out in Thy righteous indignation upon this nation. O Lord, do look in mercy, do stay that terrible plague, we pray, and do help those bereaved who are in great suffering. Do help those who have gone there, the danger of their lives, to care for the sick and the dying. And, O Lord, we do pray for those in great need of Thy word, live amidst many dangers or poverty or disease, amidst wars. O Lord, many that seek that they may receive Thy word, the Scriptures, but have no means. O Lord, do provide the way. O Lord, grant that raising up of more labourers to set forth thy word in other lands. And, O Lord, we do pray for the Trinitarian Bible Society, that thou wouldst uphold and strengthen them, and all that labour in the translation and the distribution of thy holy word, that it may go forth with power and unction. O Lord, we do pray for thy help. O Lord, as thy word is much sought after in other lands, or may it be so again in our land, in our hearts, our churches, that our reading of the word may not just be a habit, a custom. It may be there is a searching of the scriptures, a prayer for searching, a spiritual desire and thirsting after thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, who art the living word. And now, O Lord, do help us as we come to thy word. Grant us that help, that we may have ears to hear, eyes to see. And, O Lord, do guide us by thy gracious hand. We are unworthy, but worthy as the lamb that was slain. O Lord, do come, and by the power of the Spirit, send forth that light into our darkness. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 1038. Sinners in their deep affliction sigh and groan beneath their load, long to read their own election and with pleasure say, "My God." Trembling, fearing, hoping still in Jesus' blood. Hymn 1038.
May the Lord help us now in turning to his holy word in the chapter we read, chapter 15 in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, and particularly verse 25. Exodus 15 and verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which, when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. It's particularly that casting of that tree into the waters, the bitter waters, has been upon my spirit for this evening. We spoke this, so to speak, this morning from that text in the previous chapter. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And how gloriously the Lord delivered his people. How the Lord, by the power of the Spirit, shone forth there in that mighty wind that divided the waters. There was that cloudy, fiery pillar. That which shows forth that visible evidence of the presence of God. Emmanuel, God with us. There was Christ interposed between the enemy and Israel. There to shield them, there to preserve them, there to show forth light in darkness. And that cloud, a shadow from the sun. There was the purposes of Almighty God, God the Father. Purposes that Israel should go through such a trial. That it was his determined decree that they must pass that way. But it was equally his determined decree that they should be delivered. So it is for the spiritual Israel, every true believer. It's his decree that we should have to pass through the waters. But it is his decree that we should be delivered in Christ Jesus, to be given that almighty help from above. In answer to prayer, the Lord is most gracious and faithful. And so we come to chapter 15, which begins with that song of praise, a song of praise concerning the deliverance that they've just received. Where the Lord had fought, the Lord had wrought the deliverance. But no sooner had they had the deliverance, but they must come into the wilderness of Shur. No sooner was one troubler, but another seized them. So we probably not quite quoted from correctly, but the essence of it that John Bunyan set forth in Pilgrim's Progress, the plain of ease, was very quickly passed over. We would like to dwell there, build our house there, and settle down. The Lord will not have it to be so. The Lord, who is far more, infinitely more wise than we are, will not have us to settle down in the plain of ease. Indeed, the Lord will not have us settle down in this world. This is not our home. Although sinful hearts and flesh would seek to try and make it our home, to try and settle here, to try and build all our hopes here. But we are strangers and pilgrims. It's a wilderness, a hard place, at times very hard. Oftentimes we feel discouraged, cast down because of the hardness of the way. But when we look at the Holy Word of God, there we see an answer. There we see that it is the Lord's purposes, that we should not trust in ourselves, but to trust in Him. That we should not settle here, but seek a heavenly country. For here have ye no continuing city, but ye seek one to come, a heavenly place. I can speak for myself, that if all was easy, where would our prayers be? I don't mean routine prayers, but the prayers from the heart, the cry from the heart. Where would we see the answers to prayer? If all was easy here, would I not see my own heart becoming more and more wedded to the vanities of this world, more and more concerned about the enjoyments here below, more and more formal in religion, growing cold? So when the Lord brings us feelingly, knowingly, actually into the wilderness, into the place of deep trouble, distress, then that brings us where we must fall upon our knees and pray. It's when we have that need of a precious Saviour. It's when we have the need of the Lord to appear in His almighty power. When the Lord brings us to see our faults, that we should confess our sins. Indeed, Elihu, God's servant, who answered Job and his three friends, spoke concerning these things. The Lord's purpose has surpassed finding out. If we are brought into that pathway of affliction, we should humbly seek the Lord. Seek Him in repentance. Seek Him in mercy. Humbly confess that His ways are righteous and just. You know, the children of Israel, they didn't dwell long in that song of triumph. They must pass on to the wilderness. And these things prove what's in our hearts. When we come into the wilderness, not only had they the trial, there was no water there 3 days. But at last they came to water. But when they came to drink, they could not, for it was bitter. It was not that water. It was not water that could be drunk. Like if we went to the sea and tried to drink there. Indeed, in all likelihood, this would have even been far worse. That which could hardly have been swallowed. What a bitter disappointment. And not just, we might say in certain things, well, that is disappointing, but we carry on with our lives. Here they were faced with death in the wilderness. We might be able to go a few days, quite a number of days without eating, but without drinking. We surely must die. And here at Marah there was, as it were, the sentence of death. That which they hoped was life, death. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, the Hebrew word for bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And Moses cried unto the Lord. There was the most singular answer to prayer. There was a place for earnest prayer. There was a place where if the Lord did not appear, they must surely die. We read of other places like that in the scripture, where that extremity, the Lord's people came into an extremity, and that brought them to cry the more earnestly. We have Jacob at Brook Jabbok. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. We have Jehoshaphat with the people in the temple. They gathered to the house of the Lord to pray for those mighty nations, mightier than they, that had gathered together in union to dispossess them of the land. They had no might against this great army. Not of themselves, but their trust was in the Lord. There, that great trouble brought them to earnest prayer. And if the troubles that we pass through, or perhaps you or I are in at this time, it brings us to earnest prayer. And God is faithful, he shall surely answer. Them that seek shall find. And we shall surely have cause to thank God that he brought us into it, to prove us. The Apostle Paul in his ministry writes to the Corinthians, they are pressed beyond measure. Certainly this was a beyond measure place here. They'd gone 3 days and they'd found no water. Whatever they might have had with them running out, children crying, the beasts that they got with them, the cattle starting to struggle. There was the sentence of death. And they come to Mara and it was bitter. Pressed beyond measure. We know that many of the Israelites, according to the flesh, they perished in the wilderness. They could not enter in because of unbelief. But these things speak a type, a parable concerning the true Israel of God. We come to these places where we have struggled, we've carried on day after day. And then we see Mara and the waters. And we think, surely here is our deliverance. And we come to them and they're bitter. Cannot be drunk. The situation is yet worse. As we read in Job, the Lord will save in 6 troubles and also in 7. The Lord will not leave us to perish. May have the sentence of death. Now, the Apostle Paul said that they had the sentence of death in themselves, that they should not trust in themselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. And here at Mara, we have that beautiful type of the deliverance from death unto life through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, through his bitter sufferings upon the cross, there hanging upon the tree, the cursed tree. And what great bitterness he had to enter into, there to deliver us into the sweetness of the gospel, to the sweetness of forgiveness, the sweetness of mercy, the sweetness of the heavenly prospect. Moses, he cried unto the Lord. It would be well if we were brought into a place that brought us, by God's grace, to cry unto the Lord. You notice these trials that the Israelites passed through in the wilderness. Moses was in the same trial as everybody else. You see, Moses cried unto the Lord. We read of others of the Israelites. They murmured, they rebelled. We see it in the world today. Sometimes, alas, we see it even in the congregations or churches. For those that have come into such a deep trial, they're humbled by God's grace under it and cry out for mercy. Others, when it comes to the time of the same trial, they rise up in rebellion. How can a God of love do such a thing to me, they say. I've been coming with all my duty, my prayers, all the things that I've done, and how can it happen to me if there be a God? It's a great proving or testing time, whether we will follow him or no. But it'd be well for our souls, and we will prove his goodness and mercy. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. If we are at Mara, we do well to cry unto the Lord. We do well to come humbly before him. We do well to look unto that text that we have here, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. The waters of Mara can only be made sweet through that tree being cast in through Christ. The bitter waters that we, times, some more than others, or some in different ways to others, must pass through or are in, can only be made sweet as we look unto Jesus. It's only made sweet as we consider him. We read in the Corinthians, the apostle there writing, in the 4th chapter, 2nd of Corinthians, concerning the tribulations that he must walk through. And saying that, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And when we see this by faith, and see that our Lord Jesus Christ has passed through those bitter waters, far more deeply than we have. See, the people, they came to Mara and they tasted the water and it was bitter. Well, this tree, the figure of Christ, was cast right in. We but just taste a little of these bitter things. So our Lord Jesus Christ utterly, as it were, went through, submerged in. And we get that revelation of it, I trust, by the Spirit. It's revealed in God's holy word, but it may be revealed to our soul by the Spirit. When our Lord Jesus Christ was in Gethsemane, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, there he was pressed. The word Gethsemane means the olive press. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And the mocking and the spitting, the humiliation, the cruelty of an agony upon the cross. And more than that, that agonized cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There, O Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacred humanity, his sacred human soul, there experiencing the forsaking by God the Father. And what agony. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was bearing the sins of the election of grace, the church from Adam to the end of time. Bearing their sins, body and soul, that he should deliver them, body and soul. To bring them into the sweetness of the gospel. To bring them into the glorious liberty and light of the truth. Their sins washed away in his precious blood. And that they may drink of the water of life. This his side was pierced, forthwith there flowed the water and the blood. Blood to atone, to make it one, to make peace. The water to cleanse, the water of life, the sweet water of life. Oh, how unworthy we are to drink. It was so of the Israelites here, they were unworthy. They'd murmured. Yet the Lord, in his mercies here, showed Moses a tree. When he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Oh, how unworthy we are. What ungrateful murmurers we are. For a God who is truly good. Even in the depths of our most trying trials, God is still good. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even in the most deepest disappointments, yet God is good. Even in the greatest pains, God is good. And we need faith to believe that. We need faith to be kept. Left to ourselves, we would be murmuring, rebelling, challenging Almighty God. Oh, the Lord would keep us in that humble and quiet spirit. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Just remember when we come to Mara, how were they led there? As we read in chapters 13 and 14 this morning, it was by the cloudy, fiery pillar. They weren't led there by Moses as such. Well, yes, Moses, it was by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The Lord led the people. We read in one of the Psalms. It was the Lord that led by the hand of Moses and Aaron, but it was the Lord that led. It was the cloudy, fiery pillar that brought them to Marah. It's the cloudy, fiery pillar that brings us to the place of disappointment. As my pastor has sometimes said, most aptly, that disappointment is changed. We see that it is his appointment. Change the D for the H, disappointment to his appointment. And it was his appointment that the Israelites should come to Marah. It's his appointment that there should be that tree cast into the waters. Have we not cause, therefore, to praise God? Have we not got, therefore, those many causes why we should come before him in praise? Even if we are in the depths of trouble, that as we have the word of God before us, we not but look back to those Ebenezer's hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That God is faithful. God is merciful. Shall we not praise his holy name? As we mentioned this morning about Paul and Silas in the prison. There they prayed And they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't ashamed. They didn't sort of whisper a few prayers in case somebody should hear them. They were not ashamed. Not ashamed of Christ. They prayed and they praised God. What a testimony in such a place. And the Lord was pleased to deliver them at that very moment. The Lord showed him a tree which, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Christ went through the deep waters, which we can scarcely understand. In fact, we couldn't understand anything at all, except we're given that God-given faith, that gift of faith by the Spirit to receive. And many of us, I believe, could perhaps speak of a time when we heard these things and it meant nothing. Maybe it's like that for some of you here even now, to hear of the sufferings of Christ and it means nothing. May the Lord open our eyes. We may have fellowship with him and his sufferings. And oft times it is some deep trouble that is the Lord's means of bringing us into to consider him. And Paul in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the Hebrew believers, there they were suffering much. And in chapter 11 he spoke of those worthies, those men and women of God who had gone before, and how they'd shown forth the power of faith, God-given faith in their lives. But then the apostle comes yet higher. In chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Well, we can speak about those worthies and what a gracious example they set before us. But their lives, their testimony point to Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Known it myself to have been brought into a place of deep disappointment, or to a place where one has been forsaken by friends, persecuted, or perhaps what is most painful, by persecuted by those whom we thought were believers, or to be mistrusted, despised. And we feel it so painfully. But then the Lord shows us Christ. They all forsook him and fled. Now Peter, even Peter, denied him with oaths and curses. And when we suddenly see Christ, when by faith we see the Lord showed him, the Lord shows us the tree cast into the waters are made sweet. We see that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in a far more exceeding work of joy, love. There we see the love of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who went, came to the waters. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There we see Christ, who suffered far more greatly, far more deeply, far more bitterly, that he should redeem us and deliver us. And then there is peace which passeth all understanding. Suddenly those bitter waters made sweet. There, beholding Christ and his sufferings, and his grace and his mercy, and that Christ not only suffered, but is the right hand of the Father interceding for us. In Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 2, we read something that in my earlier days very much puzzled me. And in verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. What does it mean, perfect through sufferings? Well, what it doesn't mean is that in somehow he became sinless through that. No, our Lord Jesus Christ is impeccable. It means incapable of sin. Not just sinless, but incapable of sin. Pure, holy, undefiled. So what does it mean by perfect through sufferings? Chapter 1 particularly of Hebrews particularly speaks of our Lord in his divinity. Hebrews chapter 2 particularly speaks of our Lord in his sacred humanity. Captain of their salvation, perfect. That word perfect in the original signifies complete. It's the same word, basic word used in our Lord's cry from the cross. It is finished. It's accomplished. The work of salvation is done. That which was needed is paid. Perfect, complete, through sufferings. He must suffer. He must offer himself a sacrifice for sin. Otherwise he would not be our great high priest. Unless he suffered and went through the bitter waters. As it were, it was not complete. We would not have a finished salvation. We'd not have a great high priest. We'd not have one interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. He must go to Calvary. He must suffer, lay down his life, a sacrifice for sin. He must rise again. He must ascend into heaven and intercede for us at the right hand of the Father. The captain of their salvation, perfect through sufferings. And to bring many sons unto glory. He must sink in shame. That we should rise in glory. But though there was that time upon the cross of shame, yet the third day he rose again. Far, we read about, he rose far above all principality and power. Well, we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The Lord Jesus Christ has risen far above the principalities and the powers, all those things that we wrestle with and have not the strength against. And there is our strength as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, perfect through sufferings, in his sacred humanity. There we have a complete Saviour, nothing lacking. That is the wonderful thing about the doctrine of sovereign grace, of free grace. It's like the ladder that Jacob saw, it stretched all the way from earth to heaven. It didn't go part way. Sometimes you see ladders that only go part way and somebody's trying at the top to try and reach. A very dangerous thing it is to do. Well, this ladder, it went all the way. And it's not a ladder that we have to jump high to get on and then climb up. The salvation is free. Salvation is complete. Not to propose, but call by grace. When the word of power goes forth, then, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, thy sins be all forgiven thee, word of power. Son, daughter, thy sins, Gemini, be all forgiven thee. And when that word goes forth, spoken by our Lord, we do not have our Lord here now, by in his humanity, as it were, as it was in the time of his earthly ministry, but the Lord is here by the Spirit. And when the Lord speaks by the Spirit into your heart, thy sins, Gemini, be all forgiven. What sweetness there is. What liberation there is. What joy in the heart. Those bitter waters made sweet. The Lord Jesus Christ. And how compassionate he is. That he has been tempted in all points like us. We are, yet without sin. He's wept at the grave of Lazarus. He's wept over Jerusalem. He's hungered. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. One who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. One who is compassionate. And one in whose name we have access unto the Father. One whom we, no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. The one that we pray unto, in whose name we pray. And we pray unto Jesus. The one by the Spirit who is here now with his people. Friend of sinners. One who has been through the waters. One who has been so much deeper, even in natural things, if we are in difficulties. And somebody who has been through the same thing, they can understand. There may be some things that another has been in some particular bereavement, we've not passed that way. Although we can pray for them, we can sympathise for them to a point, but we've never been the same way. Whereas somebody else who has, how much better, how much more able they are to sympathise and console. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he has been the way. He is the way. He's cast into the waters. He has been in those deep and bitter paths. How suitable he is to console. How suitable he is to intercede. How compassionate and merciful he is. Whatever the Mara that we've come to, or shall come to. The Lord's been before us. The Lord has gone before, and we have a compassionate and faithful high priest. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. May we thus be encouraged to come unto Jesus and to pray unto him, to look unto him, for he is faithful and gracious to save. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £715, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there will be a meeting of the chapel trustees tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day. And the collections today are for the persecuted Christians in the Middle East. Let us close with hymn 1104. Convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I come. Informed by the gospel, for such there is room. O'erwhelmed with sorrow for sin, will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn 1104.
Us thy favour as we part. Do take us on our way this evening in peace and safety, we pray. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.